on clearing the clutter inside and out, we are continuing our month focusing on thinking outside the box. How do dreams support us in clearing our mental, emotional, and spiritual clutter? How can synchronicity in dreams lead us to release clutter in our waking life? If you dream about garbage, does that mean you have extreme clutter in your life? Learn how understanding your dreams helps you in personal development as we discuss clearing clutter through dream analysis.
Are you overwhelmed by clutter, looking to organize your life? Do you feel stuck and are ready for a change? Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., join award-winning professional organizer and coach Julie Caraccio on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out as she supports you in navigating the waters of decluttering your life and getting organized. Julie thinks outside the box and examines clutter in all areas, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, energetic, and more. Ready to live a more joyful and fulfilling life?
Hey everyone, I'm super excited today. I'm always excited because I love doing this podcast, but I'm not an expert, but I've always been kind of an amateur when it comes to analyzing dreams and using those and helping me become a better person. Have you ever had monkey mind and you're trying to solve a problem? One thing I'll do is before I go to sleep, say, hey, I need help in solving this problem, and keep a notebook and pencil beside my bed. And a lot of times I'll wake up with a solution. Or in other times I have used it to help clear emotional clutter, not realizing if I'm finished being upset with someone or if the bigger issue is about me, which it usually is. So I found dreams to be a very, very useful tool. And again, we're thinking outside the box, we're stretching here because there are numerous ways to clear clutter. And I want to encourage you to use many tools for your toolbox. Now we'll tell you about today's guest. Margaret A. Harrell is a three-time fellow at McDowell County for Artists. In 1981, after the shock of a death and personal initiations that followed, she took a sharp turn into spiritual growth. About the same time, she synchronistically started studying her dreams. Her dreams became an important contributor both to her spiritual discoveries and her writing. In Zurich, she studied at the C.G. Jung Institute from 1984 to 1987, where she had a dramatic confrontation with the self. She has written a four-volume memoir, This Keep the Quiet series. Currently, she edits books, teaches light body meditation courses in Raleigh, North Carolina, designed towards self-awareness, and is a cloud photographer. Welcome, Margaret.
Hi, so glad to be with you, Julie.
Well, I'm excited to have you. Margaret and I have had conversations before the interview, and I love what she does, and she knows a lot about dreams. We'll talk about her books later, but you can gain a lot of insight there as well. So, Margaret, how can our dreams support us in clearing clutter?
Well, it's hard to keep short answers, but I will. The answer is in almost every way. The reason it's in almost every way is because think of us as having a consciousness, and then a lot of things we're unconscious of. That's always relative to the person. So dreams try to mediate. And so if you need to know something that you're unconscious of, if you have a bias and a perspective, dreams try to come out of the unconscious and help you see differently. So it's like you have a wise friend, and sometimes the information can come from very mysteriously almost anywhere. It's like you have a wise friend who sees things differently from you. So I want to give an example. When I didn't know so much about dreams, I was at the C.G. Jung Institute in Zurich, and I had so many opportunities. You know, you can go to this course, to this event, and it was hard to choose. So at one point, I thought I would ask my dreams, should I go to this particular event I was interested in, but something was bothering me about it. And as I slept, I saw a beautiful bed. It was flowers or plants of some sort. They were beautifully planted. They had water. They had fertilizer and sun. They needed nothing. They needed to wait to grow. But however, I was going to add more fertilizer. So if I added more fertilizer, I would probably kill the little young growth. And so the dream was, in that case, really easy to understand through my question, because the dream was making an analogy. It was saying, you can go if you want, but you've got this beautiful planted flowers, and they don't need any more stimulation. So it was saying going to the event is overstimulating, over-fertilizing. And it was comparing, therefore, the way our growth evolves to the way a plant grows or something else, some other life form grows. And one of the ingredients it needs is time.
So I love that because, you know, when people have clutter, it's about delayed decisions, don't want to make a decision. And so it becomes clutter. So that's a perfect analogy. Now, you had mentioned within that about correcting bias, that dreams allow us to do that. What do you mean by that?
All of us, I think every single human being, will see things in a limited way. They will have access to certain information and not other information. So an example of, and the unconscious, obviously, the information they're not conscious of will be unconscious. And for Jung, whom I'm using, the unconscious is this very vast thing. It has our personal unconscious and it has the collective unconscious. So an example of this is Carl Jung had a client who came to him and said, I've just gotten engaged. My fiance is beautiful. She's practically perfect. And yet I have all these dreams. I want you to stop them. And in the dreams, he was seeing this very distorted person, this very person that you would not like to know. A lot of things were wrong with her. And so he said, this is obviously untrue. Please tell me how to stop it. And so Jung was suspicious, listening to all of this, and he asked the man to check around a little bit. He either checked around himself asking permission, or he got the client to. I think it was the client. And it turned out this information was correct. And so the man he was in denial. He had this information that was vaguely potentially conscious to him, and he refused to look at it. It was subliminal, in other words. It was an example of repression because his bias was she was perfect. So as soon as he found out that his dreams were correct, that he did have this unconscious information, he cut off the engagement, and of course his dreams stopped. So that's an example of a bias. Another kind of example where a dream wants to tell you that something's wrong and you've been ignoring it is an example of a businessman. And so he thought that he presented to the world this impression that he was really honest. And yet he was about to do this deal and he dreamed that his hands were covered up to his arms in dirt and mud. And so the unconscious was showing him a different perspective in which he was being quite untrue, quite lying to himself, and then therefore to the world, because he would present himself one way, and hidden under the surface was this dishonesty in this business dealing. So that's an example of how, as I said, we have a conscious self, and it's limited in what we can perceive for everyone. And the unconscious has all this information we could have access to. Sometimes dreams are coming from spirit, and sometimes you will see a little creature or a beautiful fairy or someone gorgeous in spirit who's taking the role of the higher self, or taking the role of, in Jung's terms, the self, or of God, or whatever, giving us advice. So from whatever point of view the unconscious perspective comes, it balances and enriches our conscious perspective.
Excellent. Can you talk about synchronicity in dreams and how that can relate to our everyday life of clearing clutter?
Synchronicity comes in so many ways. It's like collapsing time. It's this inexplicable coming together of two things, where if you push a ball and it moves, you can explain it because you gave some force to the ball. But if two things come together, and that might not really have meaning, but if two things come together and they are coincidence, and on top of that, they have meaning, and they come together not temporally, but outside time, then you have a synchronicity. And thinking of clutter, it's collapsing time. It's showing you how meaning can bring things together as opposed to clock time. And so an example of this, and so it saves you a lot of time. So an example, An example of this would be one of the dreams Jung often cited about synchronicity. And so he had a client, and the client, this tells something about the Jungian philosophy too. The client was very strongly thinking type, and she would not let her intuition or anything that wasn't scientifically provable and factual come into her realm of reality. And Jung thought, well, this is her animus, her inner male energy, which when it's not evolved and is used wrongly, will be opinionated. And so she just had opinions and was stuck in them, which will create a whole lot of clutter in your life and undesired events. But so she dreamed that there was a golden beetle that someone gave to her. And so when she told that to Jung, this is the synchronicity. He was standing at the window, and this little beetle flapped its wings against the window, and he opened it, and it was as close to a golden scarab as you could get in Switzerland. It was goldish, and it was a beetle, not a scarab, because you couldn't find a golden beetle in Switzerland. He handed it to her, and she was completely astonished and overwhelmed. And this gave her a shock, her ego a shock, so that she couldn't hold on to all this totally, exclusively rational explanation of reality. And then she opened to the analysis, and she learned more about herself and about a wider picture of reality, just in that synchronicity, which was so meaningful, using a dream to come to predict, really, to come right into life synchronistically for a purpose. It served a purpose. So that's an example.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, my limited knowledge of dreams comes to symbols. So can you share with us perhaps some popular symbols? And so if we're dreaming a lot about garbage, is that a really kind of on the nose, like, hey, you've got a lot of clutter in your life you need to clear?
Probably, yes. But I want to read a warning. Jung said that each dream must be regarded as a unique event. Therefore, your dream is that particular unique event, like every person's unique. And he also said a dream is a natural product, which is precisely a thing without an ulterior motive. So it's trying to tell you something in a strange language, which is the right brain language of symbols and pictures, not of logic and time. But with that said, yes, you cannot make a list. That would be Freudian. And Jung did not think of the unconscious that way. So you cannot make a list. This equals that. Every dream is unique. But with that said, you probably are familiar somewhat with your own sense of symbolism. And you also, you look at what happened the day before and what your issues are. And the dream is trying to hone in on that. But samples of dreams would be like if you dream of a car. Very often that car is representing you as in the sense of drive. So suppose you're driving, or suppose someone's driving you. And so you would take the car normally, like I said, it's unique. For you, it might mean something else. And it could be the type of car that appeals to you. If it's a bus, it's probably a collective means of transport or collective issue. Now, I will tell you a way to interpret a dream by me using transportation, on the other hand, as a symbol. So I was at the Jung Institute, and everybody was able to get wonderful sample of analysis, the Jungian style, with real Jungian analysts. And you couldn't, give up such a privilege. So I did it for a short time, and I loved it. And she discovered a side of me that was not my prominent side. And I loved that. However, I thought maybe I should stop. And I had this dream, and it was answering my question and my conscious doubts. And in the dream, I saw an airplane, and I saw something like a bus or a car. It was two choices of how you get somewhere. And it was showing me that in my particular case, if I wanted to go to this destination the slower way, I would continue with the analysis. But if I wanted to go the faster way, that is through my own intuition, I would be able to get there just like that. And so for someone else, the airplane might have meant something different, but I'm very intuitive. The airplane was intuitive. But yes, if you see a room stuffed with antiques, you might be thinking that you have some old ideas. It might be beautiful, and the antiques are beautiful, but on the other hand, it might be trying to tell you that you're thinking in old-fashioned ways. And if you see anything, as you said, related to garbage, it's probably going to relate to something like your clutter and that you need to have a spring cleaning or something like that.
That's wonderful. And I really appreciate you reminding us that everything's individual. And so different things will mean different things to people. And one thing that I always stress, and like when I'm working with someone, is that you have the answers within. It's only my job to support you to help tease out those answers. So I think that's really important to tell people that.
Do you declutter and then in no time you find yourself surrounded by clutter again? Have you tried to let go of your clutter but just don't know how? Are you stuck when it comes to releasing clutter? Are clearing the clutter inside and out, releasing and affirming MP3s support you in all areas of your life? Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and energetic. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com.
So I'd love for you to share an example or two of dreams that you've found, whether it's your personal dream or people you've worked with, where their dreams have helped them clear clutter.
You see, Julie, I think that I want to go back to my premise. I think that in anything you do, when you're trying to bring balance between what the unconscious knows and what you know, at the moment that you need to know it, is clearing clutter, either if it's in foresight or if it's in hindsight. So let me give you an example of Avoiding Clutter by Jung again. So he used to dream of houses, and there were unknown houses, but in the dream he knew they were his house. And there would be, for instance, an unknown wing. Now, because he was so in touch with his unconscious, always checking it out and getting information from it, he really didn't develop clutter, not in the usual sense. But he had to stay on his toes in order not to. So, for instance, this dream about the unknown wing prepared him to expect something. And he had this air of expectancy, something is coming. I have this unknown wing in my house or my psyche, my life work. It's about to come toward me. And so it helped him focus rather than spreading himself out. And also, he didn't go out and look for it. He didn't get real busy and say, oh, I got to find it and put pressure on himself. He just carried inside the awareness, something is coming. I'm expecting it. I'll recognize it. And that was his relationship with the unconscious. And so then a few days later, a package arrived with a book he had already ordered but had not associated with the dream. He wanted to look up a photograph. And as he opened it, he thought of the dream. And he said, oh, yes, these are pictures of alchemical images. And he said, alchemy is going to be very important to me, but not just this dream. Several dreams reinforced it. And one dream said, a gate came down and said, now you're stuck in the 17th century, meaning alchemy. So what I want to say is, if you're using dreams, if you're using dreams, they are going to point out biases you already have. But in a case like that, when you're so close to your dreams, they will help you anticipate. So instead of spreading your focus, or instead of trying to make something happen to manifest and so on, it hones in onto where to put your energy in that, like in that case with Jung. So I would like to kind of reframe it that way for the moment.
That's absolutely great. And Margaret could talk for hours. And so she's been kind to limit herself, because I said, we can't do the podcast for hours. We can have her back. But we're just kind of trying to give everyone an overview today. Now, I view clutter as stuck energy. And you shared this with me. It's incredibly important to have a relationship with the unconscious, which gives us many shortcuts, insights, inspiration, and the release of energy that comes with those. Because it's storing things we don't know and are stuck about, but dynamically and energetically. Please discuss.
Well, this is a theory of creativity, but it's also my own life story. And what I learned gradually doing, like, I teach awakening your light body and other light body work. I use this, I put it into practice, and it evolved. So again, your conscious self and your unconscious are in partnership, if you look at it this way, which I do and have experienced it this way, and it's Jungian. And so when something is not needed, well, let's say, suppose you undertake a project. So the creative process, you do as much as you can to set it up. You take it as far as you can, and then you don't just sit there staring at it, because if you do, your mental body starts going around in a loop, and you can't get out of it, and you can't get to a solution. At the point where you've taken it as far as you can with legwork, setting the groundwork, if there are people to contact, doing that, then you let it go. And where it goes is it goes into your unconscious, which, going back to my fertilizer dream, the dream was telling me not just that I had too much on my plate, but that the unconscious was busy incubating what I gave it to process, and it couldn't incubate more. It would be confusing and overwhelming. And so the unconscious is like, it's like sharing energy, just like you have a room in your house that would be too full if you put everything in it. So some of it sinks down into the unconscious. So it's this shared way of assigning tasks. And many, many people have, like, creative people, and everybody can be creative. But many people, like, take scientists, artists, ordinary people, take Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So the artist who created that insists that it came through the breakthrough came through a dream. So he was working on it, fussing with it. He took it as far as he could. But that meant that unconsciously it was being worked on and worked on and worked on. And unconsciously, it was stretching out because the collective unconscious was available. It could make contacts. It could connect with ideas. It could connect with energies that the human being wouldn't know about otherwise in your physical self. And so one day in a dream, the answer popped up with the two sides of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But that happens all the time.
You also said to me, if we have a really good relationship to the unconscious, we can turn a lot of jobs over to it, which frees up or declutters the conscious mind. For someone new to dream analysis, what beginning steps can they take?
Every step begins with simply you decide to do something. You just, it comes from inside you, the decision, the desire, and so you're already energizing it with the desire. So if something comes organically from you and you love it and you want to do it, it's an intention, and that intention automatically will go into your unconscious and conscious and begin to reprogram you. And it will go into your cells, or actually just your cells will activate and say, hey, we were waiting for you to get that idea. You know, this is the way it works. Involve your whole self, your cells, your body, your intentional mind, and your emotions. So basically, make that choice, make that decision. And then I would start there. That's the first step.
Excellent. Now, I wanted to know, I had mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show, I told you I keep a pen and pad by my nightstand in case something comes in the middle of the night, because I've noticed I'm doing a lot of lucid dreaming and waking up often. So I do that. And then the other thing is I say, okay, I'm stuck here. I need some advice. So I try to ask my dreams to help solve problems. What are your thoughts about that?
Wonderful. Dreams will solve problems. Again, that's making a close relationship with your unconscious. And so if you have a problem, intend really to get the answer. Write it down helps. Or write it on a little pad and have the intention and think about it before you fall asleep. And what I used to take it far more than that. I used to wake up, and here's an important thing. Don't move. It took me a long time to learn that, but I've seen in other ways why it would be true with other disciplines. Don't move. If you move, you're already shifting the energy, and on an energy level, you've changed the configuration of the energy. So wake and don't move. So you have to have everything ready to write the dream down. Now, what I used to do, which I would not tell anyone necessarily to go this far, it's a little extreme. I would keep my eyes closed and not move. I would reach for the pad, and in the dark, I would write the dreams, which of course meant I had to work very hard not to write lines over themselves. But get a pen with a little light, try not to move as much as possible, be very quiet, focus on the dream because you're staying in the dream state and the configuration of energy. That's a good start for an answer.
Excellent. Can you lead us in a kind of a basic exercise for dream interpretation?
Yes. So I'll just give you short one, or we'll see if it's two short dreams. So, okay. I was in a situation where I was having multiple dreams that made me feel that maybe something was happening to someone I cared for, but I was far away in Morocco living then, and this would be in New York. Now, nobody told me anything consciously. And at that time, I did not know my unconscious could give me information like clairvoyant. And so I dreamed, the dream is my father is going home. And I say, don't worry, I'm not afraid. Now, in the context of multiple dreams and my intuition and the fact that I was picking up information and didn't know it, I knew my father had really left, you know, died, left the body a few years back. So it was not about my father. What about a father figure? So first of all, you make associations. You see if it's literal. In this case, my father going home, I discounted that it was something about him because he had already died. So going home, I thought, meant going to your spiritual home, basically was putting this person's passing into a very, very spiritual context, father figure. And so I thought, and especially with the other dreams reinforcing it, that it was my Milton Klonsky in New York City, and I dismissed it because he was, to me, invulnerable. He could, I just assumed if anybody could conquer death, you know, I was just really, I had him in a real heroized. But so anyway, it was an accurate dream. So you take the little dream, even a snippet, you get your associations, you see what happened the day before, you take each little important word or symbol and try to see. You don't use wide-ranging word association at all. You use some association, but you keep your mind on the dream. Because Jung said, if you use wide association, you're just trying to get down to your complexes. All wide associations will lead there. You don't want to do that. You want to know what this specific dream is trying to tell you. And then you look at other things, like besides the multiple dreams, I had one event that related to this dream, I realized, because this went on for several months till he did die. And one of the events that happened was that out of nowhere, a doctor offered to give me a free ticket to the U.S. if I would bring a certain medicine he wanted from Belgium, because by that time I was in Belgium. And you could bring it in legally from Belgium, but you couldn't order it in the U.S. from Belgium. So I again associate, well, you know, if I do go, I will go by, I'll stop over in New York like always, and I'll go ring his doorbell. He'll be there, and it'll all be showing me there was nothing to it. But that wasn't the case, so I didn't go. Anyway, to tell you how to interpret a dream, you look at it in terms of your situation, your life context, what might be the setting of the dream, the narrative, have to do with your life context. And then you try to pick out the main words and see how you associate to them. And if there's nothing there, see then if it might be the collective unconscious, a big archetypal dream. And at that point, you can go to a really, really good, not just a simple book, but a really good one of symbols. Now, I have to then explain that Jung made a big distinction. Signs are what he called, what he thought Freud calls symbols. A sign is like on a highway. If you want to go to California, follow that sign. It's something direct, turn right. A symbol is diffuse. It's like a rose. It can mean so many things and to different people in different circumstances. So especially archetypes, they're going to be diffuse. You keep that in mind when you're looking at the symbols.
Oh, excellent. I did not know that distinction. See, that's why I love doing the show. I learned so much.
Do you declutter and then in no time you find yourself surrounded by clutter again? Have you tried to let go of your clutter but just don't know how? Are you stuck when it comes to releasing clutter? Are clearing the clutter inside and out, releasing and affirming MP3s support you in all areas of your life? Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and energetic. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com.
Now, I also believe that our dreams show us when we've had spiritual growth. I had a dream where I avoided a friend. I knew this meant because I was angry with her. I followed the what others do is about them and how I react is about me principle. So a few months later, when we were okay in the dream, I knew that I had resolved my anger and had taken responsibility for what I created. What are your thoughts about that?
I find that totally fantastic. I mean, like, that's very advanced spiritual work. And you took advantage of the dream, you listened to it, and you saw how can it help me, and what are the later dreams that are in line with this showing me of my progress. So I think that's wonderful. So as I kind of hinted at, a dream can be like from any level of yourself or the universe. The information can be coming through. Now, I can give an example of a transformational dream, very spiritual dream. It was showing me a pathway. It was Jungian, called a big dream, showing me a pathway. And in that sense, but in a symbolic, very broad sense, it was, you know, prophetic. And so it showed me a time coming up if I got into this position, which would mean probably going to the Jung Institute, but I never thought of that at the time, what might happen. So in the dream, I'm on the top of a plateau, and the actual literal location where this plateau didn't exist, but you could see in the foreground, was a Barcelona cathedral, a very famous cathedral, Sacre Familia, or Sacred Family. So I was in Barcelona when I had this dream. I was on this plateau, and the man I mentioned had died by this point, and his Milton Klonsky. I'm on a plateau with him, is high up, and I've mentioned I'm very intuitive. So that was as I interpreted it, the plateau was my intuition. And it was showing me trying to pull him out of a hole, and I couldn't do it. And I looked way down, and I saw concrete below. Now, again, look at the word concrete in quotes. I'm up in my intuition. Way down below is the concrete, the opposites, if you think of them, you know, symbolically and related to me. So I realized this is hopeless. I'm going to fall onto the concrete. I cannot do this. So it was indicated I should come down to a lower level. Now, a lot of people don't like to do this, but a lot of people, it's the most positive thing you can do. Come down from the heights of your intuition and get your opposite personality function, active and participating, and you'll find that it knows things. It's part of you. You can expand into. So down below, there was this awful looking thing, something like a chicken, but so dirty. And here you're getting into clutter. It had been neglected by me, and it was what Jung calls your inferior function or your shadow. And here I am forced to work with this, giving up what I'm good at, my intuition. So down, and this has been very helpful for me to do. Down below, I was told by this magic looking woman. So here we're getting into an image of the self or the higher self or the divine self or a spirit guide. this magical little woman, she told me to take this thing that I thought was a monster and had neglected, but was me in another aspect. Take the shadow of me and put it under a fountain. So I've got to clean it up. Now, it turned out Zurich is called the city of fountains, and it has fountains throughout. So in one way, you could say, this is a call to Zurich. It didn't have to be, but it turned out to be. And so I held it under the fountain and watched. And of course, time is passing outside of the dream. In the dream, it looks pretty fast. Dream clips, it cleans, it cleans, it cleans. It's so full of just black stuff falling out. And it gets all cleaned up and it becomes a little fish. And so the dream was promising, she had said, the woman, it would become a delicacy. So it was telling me that my shadow was filled with light, but my neglect of it had caused it to blacken and be tarnished and get functionless and unusable and basically be embarrassing to me. But I had no choice. My intuition could not communicate on an everyday level. This side of me could. And here she is talking now, because this is the side of me that could talk in everyday language, but I had to clean it up. So that is a transformational and spiritual dream, which was calling me to action.
I love that. That's absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And you know, we have to look at the shadow. We all have our shadow. And to me, that's where all the possibilities lie.
Yeah. Unknown features of yourself that you neglect, and you talk about discovering potential by going up and opening and all this stuff, but there's also potential down in your shadow. And if you look down there, that is what's missing in you. I mean, people talk about recovering their lost soul parts and all. Go look in your shadow. That's very important.
Now, what three things would you like people to take away from today's episode on using dreams to clear clutter?
Hard to reduce to three. Okay, so one is my telling you about the unconscious not being the Freudian kind, which has dirty secrets and wish fulfillments only. That's the personal unconscious in a limited way. The Jungian way, the unconscious is something beautiful and vast. And he could have called it God, he said. He could have called it the Socratic diamond, but he chose the unconscious as a neutral term. So think of it as a partner where you can go, it can mediate for you. Two, if you take it that way, then you can look for biases for it to point out to you. You can look for it to percolate projects for you and to store things that you don't need just at this moment that you're going to come back to. You can say, hey, unconscious, store this for me. Don't let me forget it. That is, in fact, a right brain way, whereas the left brain way is going to write it down and make a list, but you can use both. And for your dreams, everybody has them every night, period. To remember, put a little pad beside your bed, set an intention, and try the first thing you do when you wake up or all during the night. But it's good enough when you first wake up to immediately write them down. So I would say that.
Outstanding. I know Margaret was a trooper because I've read a couple of her books, so she can really go in depth, really, really in depth on a lot of this. But Margaret, tell people about your books or where they can find out more information, whatever you'd like to share.
Yeah, but I would like to go back to that. See, keeping things as short as you can, I think, is a wonderful advantage. And as my dream explained to me, to come to the level where you can communicate in ordinary words and stories and all, that's where you'll get to reach people. Not, you know, I no longer really, I cannot just depend on my intuition. Intuition helps. So yes, my Keep This Quiet, More Initiations is published today. And it's a book which is about my spiritual growth. It's a memoir. And leading up to it is Keep This Quiet 1, 2, and 3, which starts on a very ground level in New York City with three men and how they helped me, but also their stories are Hunter S. Thompson, Milton Klonsky, and Jan Minsart, who helped give me the strength to be unafraid of what people think and to shout my wisdom or my truth. And I also go to http:// My name, margaretharrell.com, M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T, Harrell, H-A-R-R-E-L-L.com. And you will find light body courses I teach about all of this and more, and cloud photography, and then the books. The books are on Amazon. If you write "keep this quiet!" exclamation point, you'll get taken. But do the exclamation point, you'll be taken to my author page. And thank you. I would love to hear any feedback, just feedback or any other way you wanted to communicate with me. I would adore it. And or buy my books or come inquire about the courses. And I think Julie is doing a truly brilliant job.
Well, thank you. It was a delight. We met, I can't even remember how we met. And then I was like, what am I doing? I need to have Margaret. I read her book. I just finished Keep the Quiet 4. I think I'd read Keep the Quiet 3 before. And I thought, I'm crazy. Dream analysis. It's something I personally believe in. And we need to talk about it in the context of clutter. So I appreciate you and all your pearls of wisdom.
I appreciate you, Julie. This is fantastic what you're doing.
Thank you. All right, everyone. You've got some information to get started on doing some dream analysis to clear clutter. So go out, clear the clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire.
Ready to clear clutter and share your gifts with the world? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So what step will you take today? Sign up for our newsletter and receive a free copy of our 10 Steps to Clearing Clutter. Julie Caraccio provides coaching, professional organizing and speaking, organizing classes, positive affirmations, and her unique How to Declutter Your Life course. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. Subscribe to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out and join us next Tuesday at 1 p.m.